Do you focus on your good play and turn your focus to what is going well, or do you think to yourself, that was luck. I wonder when the wheels are going to fall off. I'm playing way over my head. Or, okay, I'm still 3 under. If I can just hold on and at least bogey that tough par 3 and not get too greedy on 10 and 13, I can shoot a really good score. Either of these thought styles is self-destructive. Both break your mental and physical routine chains. Both are thought chain links that will lead to poor performance. Let's look at a few other on-course situations that will require calming your thinking to keep you relaxed and focused. One member of the group you are playing with is painfully slow. You aren't holding up play. However, you find his speed of play is beginning to irritate you. What might you say to yourself in this situation that will keep you focused and in your routine? I want you to give that some thought for just a moment. What could you say to yourself? You have a member of your group who's painfully slow. You're not holding up play. You find a speed of play, though, is beginning to irritate you. What might you say to yourself in this situation that will keep you focused and in your routine? Okay, let's look at another situation. You're playing in a tournament and realize your group is being timed. One of the members in your group is playing slowly. What should you say to yourself at this time? Remember, quickened physical movement will likely increase your swing tempo, and nothing will compromise your golf swing faster than changing your swing tempo and speeding it up. Now, your group is being pushed by the group behind you, and there are 1 1/2 holes open ahead of you. Again, one of your playing partners is painfully slow. What would you say to your playing partner about delaying play? And what should you say to yourself to maintain consistent performance? So once you've asserted yourself, what do you need to say to yourself then? Now let's look at day-to-day life situations and apply the same strategies. Situation 1. You have an important appointment for which you are late. You encounter one red light after another. The tension builds as you begin to anticipate being late and the potential consequences. I want you to list in your mind your mental and physical correction strategies. So the first one would be arousal reduction. How are you going to start to relax yourself? The second one might be thought stopping and rational dialogue. What are you going to say to yourself in this situation? And lastly, we'll probably bring your focused thinking back to the present. I'm going to review with you what I would suggest your thought restructuring and arousal reduction and focused thinking in the present should be. Your correction should be something like the following. Arousal reduction. I breathe deeply, inhaling through my nose and exhaling through my mouth. My exhalation is twice as long as my inhalation. Rational dialogue. Quiet movement and focused concentration. These are the strategies now you'd be using. Getting upset isn't going to do anything positive for me. I'm going to let my arms and shoulders go and slow down my movement. I'm going to direct this intensity into the rest of my day a moment at a time. And then your next step would be to go to focused thinking as follows. I'm not going to look at my watch. I feel the sensations of the heaviness in my body and my hands on the steering wheel. I look around me and think about the landscape and cars, and I watch the people. Then you might apply some self-reinforcement. We're going to cover that in a little bit. I can feel my nervous system slow down, and I'm getting more and more comfortable. I'm going to continue this. Situation 2. You have 4 days of work with a 2-day deadline. This is in addition to your usual workload. You begin to feel overwhelmed and worry that you will never finish, even if you work the next 2 evenings. During the day, your worry increases, and you find you can't concentrate on simple tasks. You feel tense, upset, and irritable with your coworkers and with your family. Now, I want you to list the corrective strategies you would use in this situation. So first, let's look at arousal reduction. How are you going to relax? Rational dialogue. How are you going to talk to yourself? Focused thinking. What are you going to say about staying present? And what kind of self-reinforcement might you use here? And your written responses should be something like the following. Your arousal reduction strategies, you may say to yourself, I breathe deeply, inhaling through my nose and exhaling through my mouth. My exhalation lasts twice as long as my inhalation. I slow down my movement and begin to think about what I am doing. thought-stopping and rational dialogue. I interrupt my undesired thought focus by saying, "Be quiet." I tell myself that worry and negative anticipation will not produce any positive change in the situation. I say, "If I continue to think like this, I'm going to make myself very anxious, tense, ineffective in my job, and irritable with those around me. I'm going to redirect my thoughts to each job I do and take things one at a time." Now, your next phase would be quieting your movement and focusing your thinking. I start a thought focus on each physical activity, moving slowly and deliberately. I redirect my thoughts and hold my attention on each movement in every job I do. I practice moving slowly from a broad focus to a narrow focus. I hold each focus for 30 to 60 seconds. Self-reinforcement, I would say to myself, I note that as I practice these corrective strategies, I feel more relaxed, in control, and free of distraction. I want you to note, success with rational dialogue and thought stopping will only last a brief time when you first begin to use them. With repeated use, however, these strategies will bring relief for longer and longer periods. If you will begin to use these procedures off the course in your day-to-day life, they will be well-practiced and more effective when you need them on the course. Now, when it says a brief time, we're talking maybe 15 to 30 seconds. But with practice, you can turn that into minutes. If you find yourself returning to the same worry repeatedly, consider using thought stopping after completing the steps of rational dialogue. Problem solving. You use problem solving daily. Each time you choose a club, you weigh a variety of considerations from distance, confidence in shot making ability, the when, lie, and so on. Each time you read a restaurant menu, you review your alternatives and weigh the consequences in cost, calories, money, or taste. Based upon your mental review of the consequences of each alternative, you make a decision. Written problem solving is the identical decision-making strategy on a larger scale. Written problem solving is obviously something you would not do during play. However, you may bring problems to the course that will affect play. Therefore, I have included a strategy to assist you in unloading the burdens of problems before you get to the course. This technique is useful when you are facing a problem that requires a decision or some action. When confronted with such a problem, you might be tempted to make an impulsive decision or to ponder the problem for a long time without feeling able to make a decision. In either case, you experience negative consequences. These consequences can include arousal resulting from indecisiveness. These thoughts go everywhere you do and affect internal physiology, mood, concentration, and performance both on and off the golf course. Problem solving helps structure the process of making a decision and generally helps you feel that you made the best possible decision. Consequently, you carry on with other day-to-day activities less mentally burdened. Now, the five steps of problem solving include the following. Step one. Sounds simple, but it requires some thought. Describe the problem as fully as possible. Step two, think of and write down all the possible alternative solutions. Step three, ask yourself if this is a problem on which you need to act immediately. And step four, if the answer is no, then start a list of alternatives, and the list doesn't have to be exhaustive since you will be returning to it to write more. Now, make an appointment with yourself and others involved to come back to the problem at a specific time. Make an appointment to worry and use that appointment time to redirect your thinking. For example, you might say, "I have set aside tomorrow at 4 p.m. to meet with my supervisor. Worrying about the problem will only ruin the rest of my day and tomorrow. It won't do me any good to worry now." B. Practice the relaxation procedures and positive predictive imagery as presented in this audiobook. C. Redirect your thoughts to something positive and productive. Use thought stopping and rational dialogue as necessary. D. Come back to the problem at the appointed time, and that's the appointed worry time. And complete step five, which is the following step. Step five is, if the answer is yes, and recall that the question was, is this a problem on which you need to act immediately? If the answer is yes, I must act on this problem now. A. Identify all the reasonable alternatives. B, list the pros and cons of each alternative on paper. C, make your decision or take action based on the pros and cons. D, reinforce yourself for the decision or action and stay with it. E, if you find your thoughts return to the problem or you question your decision, practice the relaxation strategies and use thought stopping and rational dialogue. Using the steps outlined here for problem solving will help you feel confident in your decisions and actions, and you won't experience the consequences of impulsivity. Use these techniques to help guide your decisions in everything from job changes to relationships to which mini tour you're going to play, and the list goes on. You will find it interesting to note how many of your pros and cons are based on emotion versus tangible consequences. Assertion. Players on both the ladies' and men's tours get reputations for things like slow play or doing something distracting as another player starts his routine. Other players have a reputation of verbal negativity about their play, moving around the green or practicing a stroke while another player is preparing to putt or hit. These habits serve as distractions that interfere with another player's concentration. I've heard all of these complaints. What would you do in this situation? Well, you can be sure you're going to handle it the same way you would handle any irritating problem off the course. If you say nothing and the irritation is repeated, you will move from a simmer to a boil. This anger will flood your nervous system with irrelevant information that will interfere with your concentration, and your performance suffers. What should you do? Well, that depends on with whom you are playing. If it's a friend from your usual foursome, it will be easier to communicate your displeasure. That is, if you are to communicate displeasure off the course. Now, if you're someone who is non-assertive off the course and unable to communicate your displeasure there, the same habit's going to be carried on to the golf course. If you are in a competition or don't know the person, use the following strategy. First, minimize your distraction from your routine. Take a deep breath, step off the ball, and look at the other player. Establish eye contact, don't smile, and start your routine over. If that doesn't communicate your displeasure with his behavior, you may need to comment in a calm and relaxed manner, something to the effect of, "That's distracting. I would appreciate it if you wouldn't do that." Then take a deep breath, tell yourself to refocus, and channel your attention back to your target as you start your routine over. If the behavior is repeated, follow the same strategy with a firmer request to discontinue the action. Remember, if another player's goal is gamesmanship and to disrupt your concentration, he wins as soon as you boil. Most non-assertive people become concerned that the other person is going to be upset with them if they speak up. Or, once they speak up, they begin to worry that the other person may be upset with them. When this occurs, concentration is lost and performance deteriorates. By using thought restructuring strategies of thought stopping and rational dialogue, concentration can be returned to the shot being played and away from what a playing partner is thinking or doing. Non-assertive people are usually well-liked by all. They don't make waves, and they agree with most everything, or yield to others' decisions and direction. Their perception is that if they speak up, they will lose this unconditional positive regard by others. Or at the very least, they will be judged unfavorably, an emotionally intolerable state that is mediated by thinking and related perceptions. In reality, when they are assertive and sensitive to others' needs, they will be more respected and internally calm. It's difficult to be themselves when they are constantly performing and doing for others in order to safeguard this perception of being the good guy by all. You are going to handle situations on the course that produce frustration and anger the same way you do off the course. What happens when you don't speak up off the course? What happens when you say yes and you really want to say no? What happens when you want to tell someone something but you are concerned he might get upset or become angry with you? You say nothing. Then you may think about what you should have said or done. Or you complain to someone else who isn't involved. Or the situation is repeated and you become increasingly upset. First, your concentration goes. You have intrusive thoughts and you can't think of much except what is upsetting you. And when you become irritable and small things you usually tolerate, these things will set you off. You may find yourself raising your voice at your children or taking out your frustration on another loved one or even a family pet. The frustration and thinking backs up for so long that you blow up, usually in a safe environment. What should you do? You make eye contact with the person you are addressing. You use I statements, for example, I feel, I suggest, I believe, I would like, and so on. Then you ask for some change in the situation. For example, you might say something to the effect of, when you stand in my line while I putt, it's distracting. Please stand to one side, or off the course. My toast is burned. Please ask the cook to prepare some more lightly toasted. If after reading this section, you recognize that this pattern of non-assertive behavior fits you, and you feel you're lacking in assertive skills, I suggest you begin with a class at a local college on assertive or social skills training. You will find it in the psychology or communication section of the school catalog. Now let's return to the golf course. These same irritations build up and have the same effect if you don't address them. As soon as you allow yourself to become distracted and your focus turns to the irritating person or situation, you've lost control and your performance is going to suffer. Again, address the problem as often as necessary. Let your fellow competitor become irritated. Show him you mean what you say in a relaxed, calm, and controlled manner. It is only when you allow these situations to build up inside that they will affect you. I would suggest that most of the irritations on the course are not meant to be distracting or to interfere with your game. If other players become upset when you calmly point out these things, let it be their problem, not yours. Sam Snead recalls an incident with the mustache, Lloyd Mangrum. Sam says Mangrum would stand in the front corner of his vision on the tee box, and as Sam would start his backswing, Mangrum would cross his legs. After a few times, Sam says he backed off of the ball, walked over to Mangrum and said, "You've driven your ball, now get off the damn tee while I have my chance." Not all irritating habits of other players are purposeful. However, if you don't address them, you're going to boil, and nothing will change except the deterioration in your mood and game. Non-assertive behavior and its consequences off the course will be taken to the course. If you arrive at the golf course tense, irritable, or upset, your frustration tolerance is lowered. You won't handle bad breaks and missed shots as well as you do when you are relaxed and calm. You also will be quick to anger with other players. Resolve problems before you get to the course when possible. When it isn't possible to take immediate action, establish a plan to make a phone call, meet with someone, or write a letter after the round. Set it aside mentally. If you are reminded of the situation on the course, mentally recall your plan and redirect your thoughts back to the round. Mindfulness, flow state, focused concentration. Mindfulness was described in the chapter titled Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System as a calming strategy, and in the concentration chapter as a technique for developing a present, one-shot-at-a-time focus. It is a calming strategy because it incorporates changes in movement, breathing, and thinking. Recall that an aroused nervous system results in faster physical movement and thoughts that are focused in the future. Quieting your movement and thinking while breathing deeply will quiet your nervous system and bring your focus to the present. Mindfulness is also called flow state concentration or focused concentration. The flow state is described by athletes as being synonymous with the peak performance condition of the zone. Now let's look at practice strategies for developing this deep state of concentration necessary for peak performance. Number one, develop a plan to practice mindfulness upon awakening in the morning. Keep a writing tablet by your bed. Upon awakening, write all things to do that come to mind on the tablet. After you complete each entry, turn the tablet face down so you cannot see your list. You'll refer to this list once you are addressed and ready to start your day, not before. Keep the tablet close. When you have an intrusive thought of something you have to do, write it down on the tablet. Instead of continuing to recall and recite to yourself a list of things you have to do, use the written list as your memory and reminder and return to focused concentration. Most thoughts are future-oriented and excitatory. Focusing on the various things you have to do is part of that process. Use the tablet to assist you in getting out of the future and back to the present. Be sure to turn the tablet face down so you can't see your list. Looking at your list will likely trigger a future focus. People whose thoughts focus on past events tend to be angry, sad, or frustrated. Like anxiety, these emotions cause arousal and interfere with the present focus. Number two, upon awakening, begin deep diaphragmatic breathing. Continue breathing as you make your entries on the tablet and as you follow the concentration exercises. During times of arousal, you either hold your breath or begin shallow, rapid breathing. Deep diaphragmatic breathing will take you out of these states. If you do not change your breathing to diaphragmatic, you will continue to drive your nervous system at a high rate. You will not get adequate oxygenation to your brain or deep muscles. Your level of concentration will diminish, and mental and physical fatigue will evolve. Number three, be certain your movement is slow and you continue your deep diaphragmatic breathing. Most dentists have a skill of soft, quiet, gentle touch and movement. This is the type of movement you want to practice. Slowing or quieting your movement is one of several ways of slowing the activity of your nervous system. Quiet or slow down your movements in everything you do and be aware of this quieter movement. Number four, as you start to get out of bed, notice the sounds of birds singing, see the colors, and experience your sensation of touch. Feel the sheets, and that means the texture, the pressure of the bed, and the floor under your feet. Keep your movement slow and relaxed. Note the sensations of your slowed movement, your deep diaphragmatic breathing, and the sensations of the sheets, the bed, the floor, the shower, your dressing, and so on. Number five, narrate every move you make. For example, I'm going to slowly extend my arm and turn the hot water valve. Now I'm going to feel the texture of the faucet and the sensations as I open the cold water valve. I hear the water running and experience the temperature changes as I balance the water temperature. I feel the sensation of the shampoo bottle cap as I open it and notice the weight of the bottle as I turn it up to pour the shampoo into my hand. I feel the texture of the shampoo, hear the water running, and feel the water as it gently hits and runs down my body. Your goal is to be able to sustain this practice for up to 5 minutes. Don't get discouraged. When you begin this practice, you will probably have success for 5 to 30 seconds. You will have the most success if you schedule your concentration practice 4 times a day, by the clock, or paired with some activity. Broad and narrow focus. Practice going from a broad or general focus to a narrow, specific focus, and then return to a broad focus, and then again to a narrow attention focus. Spend 60 to 90 seconds in each of these concentration states. Jack Nicklaus described going from a broad to narrow focus on the golf course with every shot he hit. This is something you unwittingly do off the course at various times. Your goal is to learn to voluntarily move from a broad to a narrow focus. When you read a book in which you are interested, your thoughts are narrowly focused on everything you read. When you read content that is not interesting, you easily lose your focus. The same focus occurs when you watch television. Commercials take you away from a narrow focus on the program content. Sexual behavior is another example of broad and narrow focus. For women, an inability to focus or a loss of interest causes a deterioration in performance or a less than pleasurable experience. A prolonged narrow focus produces climax. For men, too narrow a focus too soon results in intense arousal, thoughts and images of the sexual experience, and early or premature performance. A broad focus extends performance. Too broad a focus causes a decline in sexual arousal and performance ability. You have the ability to focus on a specific sensation anytime you choose. Think about the feeling of your big toe on your right foot. That information was always being transmitted through your nervous system to your brain. You simply used a mechanism in your brainstem to focus your attention. This is an example of a narrow focus. The more precise your attention is, the more narrow your focus becomes. Thinking about the sensations of your big toe on your right foot is a narrow focus. When practicing a broad or narrow focus, be certain your breathing is deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic, and that you make no sudden or abrupt movement. Your movement should be unhurried and deliberate. Integrating these skills into daily living. When you eat with a narrow focus, concentrate on the color, texture, and taste of your food. Your hand and arm movements are smooth and chewing is slow. You have an awareness of each of these sensations. Your breathing is deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. Broad focus during eating is a concentration on the room, colors, people, and general sounds. Again, your movement is slow and your breathing deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. Return to a narrow focus and become aware of a distant object in the room. Direct your narrowed attention to the details of that object. It may be a painting or a piece of furniture. Again, your movements are slow and your breathing deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. Another time you can practice a broad to narrow focus is during conversations. When you are talking with someone, be there. Focus all of your attention on every word you hear. Be aware of the content, the color of the speaker's eyes, their hair color, clothing, and mannerisms. Your movements should be slow and your breathing deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. As an alternative, if you have children, a good time to practice focused concentration is during your conversations and time with your children. Always be certain your movements are slow and your breathing deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. You will find it helpful to decrease the amount of external stimuli when you practice these concentration strategies, such as turning off the television or radio, or closing your eyes momentarily. If you take yourself out of your home or office to less familiar surroundings when you first begin your practice, you will have more success. A narrow focus while driving is an awareness of the texture and feeling of the steering wheel, the sensation of the seat, a single number or letter on a license plate, and so on. Again, be certain your movements are slow and your breathing deep, diaphragmatic, and rhythmic. A broad focus while driving is the traffic signs, the traffic, the color and make of cars and the pattern of traffic, and a resumption of narrow focus may be a letter on a road sign, a line in the road, or the number on a license plate or similar small feature of a car in the distance. When you listen to music, a broad focus is listening attentively to combined aspects of the song. A narrow focus is listening to one instrument, for example, a piano or a wind or string instrument, or listening to every word of the lyrics with the background sound of the melody. Be aware of your breathing. With this awareness, practice deep diaphragmatic breathing. Be aware of the sensation of your stomach expansion with deep inhalation. Purse your lips as you exhale, and make your exhalation last at least twice as long as your inhalation. Note the sensation of your exhalation through your mouth and over your pursed lips. Count your breaths. Set a goal of practicing focused concentration on your breathing. See how many breaths you can count before you have an intrusive thought. Practice at times of stress. The skill of mindfulness or flow state, focused concentration, is most useful at times of stress. It must, however, be practiced repeatedly in relatively non-stressful situations in order to be learned and integrated at times of stress. In addition, recognize that you must develop skills of focused concentration at times of stress, and meaning this period of internal arousal, off the course, if you're going to have success staying mentally focused during stressful times on the course. Stress off the course produces the same aroused and distracted internal state you will experience at times of stress on the course. If you practice these focused concentration strategies off the course, you will have familiar and trusted techniques that will hold up under stress on the course. Although a broad and narrow focus may be present throughout your day, this does not necessarily mean it is easily accessible anytime you choose, especially at times of stress, when a flood of intrusive thoughts begins. It is important that you have the ability to initiate focused concentration during times of stress, as well as at set times during the day. When you find yourself in a situation that creates anxiety, a sense of urgency, feeling of conflict, anger, or any other condition that takes you out of the present, you will experience arousal of your nervous system. Begin to practice focused concentration, slowed movement, and deep diaphragmatic breathing to counter the arousal. When you have difficulty falling asleep, it is almost always your mind that is too active. You will find you are focused either on the past or the future. Write down things you need to do, then take your focus to the present. Feel the heaviness of your body as it sinks into the bed and pillow. Note the texture of the sheets. Be certain your movements are slow and your breathing is deep and diaphragmatic. Problems falling asleep are minor forms of stress. Use this focused concentration in other more stressful conditions as well. Many tournament players describe being on the clock as a stressful event. In times, you are going to be on the clock if you play competitive golf. This is a good example of a time on the course where slowed movement and focused concentration will help you stay in the present and out of the urgency this situation produces. Have somebody time your routine on the practice range as you quiet your movement and practice your deep diaphragmatic breathing and focus. The knowledge that your routine is within a 45-second period will assure you that you do not need to rush when you are on the clock. The other obvious on-course events that produce distraction and arousal are when you let the play, speed of play, or behavior of others intrude on your thoughts. The slightest distraction can interfere with your focused concentration if you allow it to do so. Simply begin deep, diaphragmatic breathing. Say something to another player or a spectator if the situation calls for it. Then return to your mindful, focused concentration. For example, "We need to pick up our pace, guys," or "Please don't move until I've played my shot." Once you have made the comment, mentally recenter. For example, think, "Now leave it and move on." LEMO. LEMO is an acronym for "Leave it and move on," and it's very useful at these times. On-course concentration practice. What kinds of things can you do on the course to help maintain your concentration? Number one, never add your score until the end of the round. Nothing will take you out of the present faster than becoming score conscious. You've already read what tour players say about a score focus or looking at the leaderboard. Make a conscious effort to play one shot at a time. Use your scorecard to rank each shot on a 1 to 10 scale, a 10 being the best shot you can hit. Set a goal of hitting a 10 on every shot. The Mind Under Par series scorecard provides a detailed strategy for using a scorecard to develop focused, one shot at a time concentration, confidence, a memory bank of good and great shots, and an analysis of strengths and weaknesses in your game. Number two, follow the same routine on every shot. A consistent pre-swing, in-swing, and post-swing routine cues the same internal and external behaviors on each shot and ensures that you focus only on the shot you are playing. Practice a broad focus as you do yardages, wind, and so on. Narrow your focus from behind the ball as you stare at your target and move into your setup. Number three, stay target focused. Pick a target for every shot you're going to play and keep that target integrated through your entire routine. Maintain that target focus during your swing. LPGA Tour player and U.S. Open champion Meg Mallon says, "When I'm playing my best, I know I'm focusing right down to the leaf on the tree I'm aiming at." Number four, never analyze mechanics during a round. Swing mechanics analysis belongs on the lesson tee. If you don't have it during the round, remember what Sam Snead said. Dance with the one you brought. Sam probably said, dance with the one you brung, but you understand the meaning. Return to the lesson tee and ask for drills to work on the changes you need to make after the round. Number five, practice deep diaphragmatic breathing before, during, and after your round. Deep breathing will keep your nervous system arousal to a minimum and enhance your ability to purposely focus your thoughts on the shot you are playing. Number six, practice quiet movement and mindfulness. Quieting your movement before and during practice and play will help you develop a desired rhythm and tempo that will build a foundation for peak performance. Mindfulness during this quieted movement places you in the present and minimizes distraction. Practice being non-emotional and dispassionate with regard to your performance. Accept the outcome of a shot or situations and remind yourself to return your thoughts to the present. Number 7, practice supportive, reinforcing internal dialogue. Supportive dialogue, both on and off the course, will teach you to be patient and to manage emotional and physical decay that produces mental distraction and physical arousal. Number 8, feel the swing you want to make, then repeat that feeling. Focus your thinking on a feeling of the swing you want to make as you take your practice swings. Focus your thinking on repeating that feeling as you swing. I once heard it stated that you can't think of two things at the same time. I disagree. You can feel the swing you want to make and still hold an image of the target. It takes practice, but you can do it. You are accessing two separate sensory systems, feeling and vision, simultaneously. Imagery takes in the same part of the brain as vision. Remember, none of these things turn on and off like a light switch. The more you practice them off the course, the more accessible and successful you will be during play. Develop a plan for on and off the course use of these concentration strategies. Practice focused concentration on the range and putting green. Follow your full routine with each practice shot or putt you hit. Practice going from a broad focus to a narrow focus within each shot. Change clubs with every shot you hit on the range. Select a club you're going to use and consider the shot you want to hit. This is the beginning of a broad focus. Stand behind the ball and describe each shot. This is where your focus begins to narrow. For example, describe where you're going to start the ball, over the divot, the line of the shot, at the shingle, on the top right side of that chimney, and where the ball will land, on that brown spot about 6 feet from the flag, and so on. Direct all of your attention to a small target. For example, the brown spot on the green or the shingle on the top right side of the chimney. This is your narrow focus. As you approach the shot, stay focused on that narrow target through setup and swing. Stare at the target and glance at the ball. As you make your practice swing, feel the swing you want to make and retain that feeling through the shot. As you make your swing, you should have a feeling of the swing you want to make, which is background, and an image of the target in your mind's eye, foreground. Both are a narrow focus. Practice working the ball left to right, then right to left, to a specific target. Describe to yourself a specific line the ball will take. Hit only one shot with a club, then change clubs. Remember, the average player sees the fairway and decides to hit the shot somewhere out there. His practice swing is a meaningless ritual that is usually occupied with mechanical thoughts. The focus may be narrow on mechanical thoughts, but not on a feeling of the swing or consideration of a specific target or line of ball flight. If you're going to learn broad and narrow focus, practice first off the course, then on the range, and then take it to the golf course. As I already noted, you will enhance both your performance and enjoyment on and off the course. How do you know when you have achieved flow state, focused concentration off the golf course? Well, you will feel a peacefulness. You will experience a relaxed calm that is mentally uncluttered. Your sense of time will be altered, and your movements and thoughts will flow effortlessly in the present. Flow state concentration practice will help you enhance both the quality of your life and your performance on and off the golf course. Be sure to plan times and situations where you will practice. Enjoy the sense of control and present focus this state brings. This quiet movement and focus will produce a sense of total calm and control with repeated practice. Establish times throughout the day you will practice being mindful. It is an excellent way to start the day upon awakening, while grooming, dressing, driving, and so on. Finally, take this practice to the range and onto the course. It will help you stay focused in the present and keep you calm and relaxed. Mindfulness is a strategy you can use to build your concentration skills, quiet your nervous system, and block non-productive thinking. The following are three additional strategies of mindfulness that, with practice, you can apply on and off the golf course. This is particularly true when behavior from others promotes some momentary distraction and an emotional response or similar interference in concentration. Dispassionate or non-emotional reaction. When an event on or off the golf course creates a disruption in concentration or an emotional response, remind yourself to be objective and non-emotional. For example, you may hit a bad shot or start to become irritated with the speed of play of another player. Off the course, you may find yourself becoming upset when cut off by another car or when interrupted while working on something. Tell yourself to accept the intrusion without an emotional response or intellectual judgment. Remind yourself to be dispassionate or non-emotional. Practice deep diaphragmatic breathing. Assume the emotional posture of an uninvolved observer. Leave it and move on. Limo. You can practice this style of thinking upon awakening in the morning, driving to the golf course, on the range, during play, or at home or work. Listen to your thoughts. Recognize recurrent themes that drive your nervous system and produce arousal and irritability. Listen for thought themes that can produce relaxation and comfort. Be detached as you listen in. Then remind yourself to return to 100% present focus. Limo. 100% present focus. On the course, direct your thoughts to the feeling of the grip, weight of the club, and the ground as you walk. Direct your attention to the color of the target and only on the shot you are playing. Remain completely void of any thoughts of swing mechanics. Incorporate all five senses in this attention focus. If you are awakening, experience the sensation of the bed sheets in your hand and on your feet as you roll over to get out of bed. In the shower, experience the sensation of the feeling and sound of the water. Be in the present. Recognize the impulse to rush as you shower. Acknowledge the impulse. Accept it. Treat the impulse as if you are a detached observer and return your thoughts to the present. Limo. Note your intention to shampoo, use soap, or rinse. Turn your thoughts to breathing. When you eat, experience the texture of the food. Again, recognize the impulse to rush from one bite to the next. Quiet your thinking and return to one bite at a time. Be aware of your movement, swallowing, and intention to eat. Be aware of intrusive thoughts during eating that may result in a mood which drives your eating behavior. Is it hunger, anxiety, depression, anger, or time of day? When you dress, experience the sensation of the feeling and color of each item of clothing. Become aware of your intention to raise your arms, to put on a shirt, or to raise your leg as you dress. Be aware of your thoughts that create the intention of your clothing selection. For example, where you are going, whom you will see, and color match. Experience the sensation of each article of clothing as you dress. Breathing awareness. Be aware of your breathing as you go about your day. Experience the sensation of breathing as you inhale and exhale. Note the expansion of your chest and stomach as you breathe. Note that with deep breathing, your stomach protrudes more than your chest as your diaphragm pushes downward on the contents of your stomach. Remember that the common denominator for behavior change is keeping positive daily diaries. You will find that writing your restructured thoughts in a diary will be useful and facilitate continued change. What you feed attention grows. Be certain your entries are all positive. If you have a habit of negativity, your entries will tend to be negative. Negative entries will only fuel frustration, anger, sadness, or depression. You will also find it helpful to create reminders to practice the various thought restructuring strategies. For example, make notes to yourself that remind you to self-reinforce or focus on what is right with your life. Remind yourself to be mindful. Schedule times to be mindful. Start with awakening in the morning and getting out of bed. Continue mindfulness until you finish dressing. As you become more proficient with mindfulness, you will begin to feel more relaxed, happier, and in control. You won't mentally be residing in the future or the past. you will be experiencing the only part of life over which you have control, the present. Extend your practice into the day. Continue to remind yourself through written notes or other cues to bring yourself back to the present. This chapter has covered many different mental strategies for improving performance. Most of these are procedures to be applied in forming your reaction to disruptive, non-productive thinking, which interferes in some way with your performance. The following chapter presents examples of how to behave differently in particular situations. These examples are a comprehensive integration of the thinking, relaxation, and concentration strategies presented in the prior chapters.
This is the end of this cassette. Please proceed to the next cassette.
Chapter 7, How to Talk to Yourself On and Off the Golf Course.